Ladies and gentlemen, I understand that the grass is quite permissible for you to stand or sit upon. The grass is dry, the ground is dry, so make yourselves as comfortable as you can. We don't have enough chairs for everybody, but if you wish to sit on the ground either side, you're perfectly welcome to do so. I would like to welcome everybody here this afternoon. I don't know how you Calgarians manage to have such beautiful weather for an occasion such as this. I know that we in Ottawa, I personally was delighted when I had a phone call on Tuesday from Mr. Kosh, and he said, "Welcome to snowbound Calgary." And I thought, this is just fine. They can have all the snow they want at the first of the week. It should be good for the end of the week. And I'm glad my hunch was correct. It's a beautiful afternoon. I'm delighted to know that we have some of the people here today who are responsible for our good fortune in having this particular location and in having the buildings as you see them. I'd like to mention in particular Mr. Reese Smith of the Calgary Regional Planning Commission, Reverend Bob Simpson, MLA, and Mr. Perley of the Department of Public Works. And I would request that these particular individuals carry our good wishes to others of their associates who have been instrumental in helping us. I want to welcome you to the official opening of the Photographic Zenith Tube Observatory of the Federal Department of Energy, Mines, and Resources. In the language of the trade, we refer to this instrument as a PZT. Now, you'll probably hear our American friends calling it a PZT, but in Canada, we call it the PZT, Photographic Zenith Tube. It is one of the first astronomical instruments to become automated, so that it requires the attention of only two people, Mr. Franz Kosch, who is the scientific officer in charge. Is Mr. Kosch? Oh, Mr. Kosch is on the roof, and assisting him as technician is Mr. Norman Case, and Norman is over here in the white coat near the stairs. These two gentlemen are members of the staff associated with the Dominion Observatory in Ottawa and in charge of this local observatory. Norman Case is a Calgarian, while Mr. Kosch has a mixed background. I think he claims mainly Dutch, but he is multilingual, and this is his home now. A PZT is a specialized transit telescope that can, with precision, measure the time at which a star crosses the overhead point and can also measure the exact distance north or south of the overhead point, which we call the zenith. The result of a night's observing yields a value of astronomical time and astronomical latitude, which can be translated to a position on the ground. And two PZTs on the same latitude will be able to use the same celestial markers and establish their relative position in both east-west and north-south coordinates with a precision of just a few feet. So long as the crust of the Earth remains steady, the relative positions of the two PZTs will not change. But if the continents are slowly drifting, the change may be detected. The instrument whose latitude is the same as this one is the Royal Greenwich Observatory at Hurstmonceux, England. Well, there are other valid reasons for establishing the PZT here, but it is not my purpose to enter upon a scientific discussion, even though it may prove to be a diversion from some of the discussions which are Ottawa-oriented oratory. Rather, my purpose is to acknowledge our indebtedness to the large number of people who have assisted us in bringing this plan to fruition. The present story really began 20 years ago when approval was granted and funds provided for the construction of a PZC in Ottawa. The first major revision of the original Ross instrument had just been completed at the United States Naval Observatory in Washington. So we borrowed a set of drawings and modified them to our Ottawa requirements. A suggestion came to us at that time from Switzerland that we erect our PZT somewhere near Quebec City in order to share a common latitude with Neuchâtel. But we had to do the development work on our instrument a little closer to home. In subsequent years, the advantages of two PZTs on the same latitude but widely separated in longitude was discussed in international circles. Nothing was done until about 4 years ago, when again the United States Naval Observatory took the lead. Dr. Markowitz, who is with us here today, designed a new instrument to be installed about 35 miles south of La Plata, Argentina, on the same latitude as the PZT of Mount Stromlo in Australia. About the same time, pressure was being exerted by our landlord, the Department of Agriculture, to vacate the temporary quarters we were occupying on what was eventually to become the front lawn of their administration building in Ottawa. So we immediately approached Professor Markowitz with a suggestion that his shop assemble two PZTs if we provided funds to share the cost. The plan worked well. We thought of placing the new one in a temporary building alongside the old one to check it out, then operate the new one at Calgary, for a year before deciding what to do with the old one. Actually, the old one, which has been operating in Ottawa for nearly 20 years, is so much more like the Hirstensu one in optical properties that we have brought the old one here, and the new one is located in Ottawa in a new location about 15 miles to the west of the original site. Well, in addition to acknowledging the contribution of the United States Naval Observatory to our present situation, I must point out the cordial relations that have always existed between the Dominion Observatory and Greenwich. The Astronomer Royal has not been insensitive to the scientific value of the present experiment, and indeed, 2 years ago, he welcomed Mr. Kosh as a scientific colleague and granted him residence at Hirstensu for a couple of weeks while he studied their instrument and method of reduction. Having secured permission and the necessary funds for this new venture, we had to decide where in Western Canada we would find a reasonable separation from Greenwich. Also, the site must have some clear weather and good accessibility. The choice actually narrowed down between two locations, Calgary and Kamloops. I had jokingly suggested to my wife some years ago that we might move to Moosonee, because it's about the same latitude as Greenwich, and the long winter night there might be relieved, or the long winter at any rate, relieved by the occasional sighting of polar bear, but we never followed that suggestion. Calgary was chosen not because of its Chinooks, nor does it afford the best astronomical seeing in Canada. It was tested, however, and found to be astronomically suitable to our purpose. It is relatively high, we're about 4,000 feet above sea level, and it is certainly quite accessible. These same attributes may also be applied to Kamloops. Calgary has one further advantage, not at present shared by Kamloops, namely a university. Having sighted upon Calgary, the area was carefully examined by the use of aerial photos and by reconnaissance on foot, which finally narrowed the choice to the spot where we find ourselves today. This signaled the start of another chain of events involving the property and building management personnel of the Department of Energy, Mines, and Resources. First of all, the consent to sell had to be secured from our good friends and neighbors, Mr. John Standish. Is Mr. Standish here today? Oh, yes. Welcome, Mr. Standish. And is Dorothy here, too? She's here somewhere. Fine. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Standish were most cooperative in this matter of transferring the deed of this parcel of ground to my department. Well, this was followed by negotiations with the Provincial Legal Branch and the Calgary Regional Planning Commission, both of whom were very helpful. The actual details of construction were handled through the regional offices of the Department of Public Works, Edmonton, and their representatives in Calgary, who carefully attended to every detail. Finally, I must acknowledge the contribution to this occasion by the Calgary Center of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada, without whose assistance this present gathering certainly could not have occurred. I'd like to mention some names here, but I know it's not safe to do so, but I must congratulate Mr. Micklejohn and his committee for all the work, all the details that they have taken care of in this operation. Thank you.